today on Real Radio.
The reason why the church will not go through the tribulation period is because it is of Jewish context. The church will be out of the world and, in fact, in heaven during the tribulation period, and it has to be so, and we're going to be looking at reasons why that's the case.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack begins a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Part 1 begins in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 with verses 13 through 18. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the Thessalonian church to encourage them in their commitment to Christ. Paul now takes a break from instruction about holy living to teach on prophetic doctrines of the Bible. The return of Jesus Christ is a coming event that Paul shares in every chapter of his letter. His desire was to bring hope to the church that death was not the final act. Today, Pastor Jack continues to take us through the Bible with specific examples of God sparing his people from judgment. We can find deliverance for our lives when we ask Christ to come into our heart, and his salvation will inspire us to watch and wait for his return. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Jesus says you better pray when this time comes that it's not on the Sabbath, because you're so caught up in the keeping of the law, you're going to struggle with it, and you're going to have a hard time leaving the area anyway. And the Bible tells us where they're going to go. They're going to go to Jordan, by the way, which they just signed a peace treaty with, interestingly enough. And the Bible says Jordan will protect them. In a place called Petros, the rocky, craggy hideout that God has provided for them. You can take a tour there, by the way. The reason why the church will not go through the tribulation period is because it is of Jewish context. The church will be out of the world and, in fact, in heaven during the tribulation period, and it has to be so, and we're going to be looking at reasons why that's the case. Jeremiah 30, verse 7. It is Jewish. Jeremiah 30, verse 7 says, "Alas, for the day is great, so that none is like it. And it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it." The time of Jacob's trouble is a reference, if you read it in its context in Jeremiah 30, to the Great Tribulation period, otherwise known as the Tribulation of Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. Remember what Jacob's name was changed to? Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. A reference to Israel. Again, Jeremiah 30, verse 11. The tribulation period is for the nation Israel and the unbelieving Gentile world, but not for the church. Jeremiah 30, 11. God says, "For I am with you, saith the Lord, to save you. Though I make a full end of the nations where I have scattered you, I will not make a full end of you, but I will correct you in justice, and I will let you not go altogether unpunished." The seven-year tribulation period is a time of God dealing with Israel and her rebellion. The Bible says so in numerous places. So we need to understand this, people. You cannot have the church and Israel on the earth at the same time, because in fact, God is focusing on the nation Israel fulfilling the last seven-year period of the 490 years that was promised to Israel in the Old Testament. Now, I just said a mouthful, and you're going to need to get the tape to study that carefully. It is excluding the church, and we'll see why as we keep going on this. Joel chapter 3, verse 12. Again, Jewish, concerning the tribulation period of time. "Let the nations be awakened and come up to the valley of Jehoshaphat." You want to know another name of the valley of Jehoshaphat? It's got a nickname. It's got a couple names, Valley of Jehoshaphat. It's got a name called Valley of Megiddo. When you go there today, that's the Megiddo Valley. And it's also can be pronounced, are you ready for this? The Valley of not so much Megiddo. You could say the valley, and the word is Armageddon. It is the place where the last final world battle will take place. It is also known in the Old Testament as the Valley of Jehoshaphat. "For there I will sit to judge all the surrounding nations. Put in the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Come down, for the winepress is full and the vats are overflowing. For their wickedness is great." Who is? Who is? The nations of the world. Multitudes, multitudes in the valley of decision, for the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. This sounds, now listen, this next verse sounds like Matthew 24. The sun and the moon will grow dark and the stars will diminish in their brightness. For the Lord also will roar out of Zion and utter his voice from Jerusalem. The heavens and the earth shall be shaken, but the Lord will be a shelter for his people and a strength to his children Israel. So you shall know that I am the Lord your God, dwelling in Zion, my holy mountain. Then Jerusalem shall be holy, and no foreigner shall pass through it again. The tribulation period is God dealing with Israel. Second of seven coming up here. The number two argument that the church will not see the tribulation period is historical biblical parallels. Jot that down. Historical biblical parallels. This is kind of fun and it's short, so you can enjoy this one. There's a lot of them. Biblical types. Example. Jesus is a type of Jacob's ladder. We know that from the scripture. Jesus is a type of Adam. Adam was a type of Jesus. Jesus gave himself for the church. Adam gave himself for his wife, Eve. Adam was perfect. Jesus is perfect. There are many types in the Bible. There's hundreds, probably thousands of types in the Bible. Well, listen to this one. Concerning the church, there's a type, and his name is Enoch. And Enoch is a fun kind of guy. Enoch was a guy who ran around saying, "Maranatha, Maranatha." And those of you, I know Mark and Kathy sang some old songs this morning that, boy, caused me to get excited about my old days when I was saved, because we used to sing Maranatha, Maranatha, and bands like The Way and Mustard Seed Faith and all that stuff. It's an old song. Well, we had bumper stickers and banners saying Maranatha. Well, what does it mean? The word Maranatha means, behold, the Lord's coming. The Lord cometh. Enoch lived during the time of Noah. He had a baby boy. His name was Methuselah. And Enoch was a real wacko, I guess, huh? When his little boy was born, he named him Methuselah. Methuselah means, at his death, it shall be sent. Well, that's a funny name to name a kid. Enoch was the seventh descendant from Adam. It says that he was walking around announcing that the Lord was coming. And in Jude chapter 1, verse 24, it says there that he announced to his world the Lord's coming with 10,000s upon thousands of his saints. Way back then, he was talking about Jesus Christ returning to the earth with his saints. Interesting. Well, what happened to Enoch? Isn't it funny? His son is the oldest living man on earth, 969 years, Methuselah. But the son died before his father, and the son is the oldest living man on earth. Go figure. Dad got raptured. Enoch was walking along with God, talking with God, and God took him right off the face of the earth. He never saw death. Raptured him, just like we're going to be raptured, I hope, in our lifetime. Looking for that. But you can imagine Noah being alive. Noah was alive. And there's Methuselah. And at his death, it shall be sent. Now, Noah's got a little inside track because God appears to him and says, I want you to build this major barge, this big boat, and start building that thing. It took him 120 years to build it. And they're going to pull that thing out of Mount Ararat in the not-too-distant future, I'm sure, up there in the ice. And the son, Methuselah, can you imagine Noah waking up today? How's Methuselah doing today? Has anybody called over there and say what he's doing? Can you imagine? At his death, it shall be sent. How's Methuselah? He's got a cold. Oh, it's gone into his ears. He's got a bad chest cold. I mean, who knows? The kid gets sick. At his death, it shall be sent. What's coming? Can you imagine? How's he doing? He's sick. Oh, no. Hey, Noah's prepared. He's got a boat ready to go. Methuselah dies. God says, Noah, get in the boat. He's in the boat for 7 days. And the rains begin to come after 7 days. Enoch was delivered out of it. Noah was put into the ark, and the door shut for a 7-day period of time before the first raindrop ever hit. Can you imagine Mrs. Noah sitting there, rain? You said rain. Didn't you say rain? The Bible says, hitherto it had not yet rained upon the earth. What is this thing? How do you say it again? Rain. Rain. So you say it's going to rain? Yes. 7 days. Can you imagine? All those animals in there. Honey, it's clear skies out there. God sends a storm, begins to rain, breaks open the fountain of the deep. Earth begins to flood. 7 days, Noah was in that boat, and the Bible says in Genesis 7 that God shut him in 7 days before the flood ever came. Noah was removed from the judgment. So will the church be removed from the judgment. Another interesting person is this man by the name of Lot. In Luke 17, 29, you can jot that down. And also Genesis 19, 22. The references are given there that the angels who were going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah couldn't do it until Lot was removed from the area. Isn't that neat? In fact, in Genesis 19, 22, the angel says, "Will you hurry up? I cannot do anything to these cities unless you're out of here." Just, man, you think things are bad now? Just wait till the rapture takes place. We'll get into it in a few weeks. It says that the Holy Spirit will step aside and let evil go once the church is removed. How would you like to go to bed? Let's say the rapture happens today. And tonight, you're left behind and you're waiting, you're sleeping in your room, and people, they don't knock on the door anymore. Jesus says it will be during the time of the second coming when he returns to the earth to execute judgment and to establish his rule and reign upon the earth. Says that lawlessness will abound and that it will be like the days of Lot. Well, what was the days of Lot? Listen to this. Jesus said in Matthew and in Luke's gospel, he says, this is how it was in the days of Lot. There were men given over to violent homosexual acts, and they'll knock down doors to drag you men out. He says it was just like that at the time of Sodom and Gomorrah. For some reason, Jesus says they're going to feel the freedom to be able to be so bold. It happened in Sodom, happened in Gomorrah. Jesus says it will happen just before the second coming takes place. That's serious. That's what the Bible says. Tremendous things. Lot is removed from the scene before judgment falls. What about Rahab? She's great. Rahab is our sister in the faith, and Rahab was a prostitute whose home was delivered from judgment because of a red, scarlet red rope or thread that she hung in her window. When the children of Israel said, "You hang that scarlet ribbon out your window, and we will destroy everyone except your home because of your goodness and your faith in God, and you'll be spared." Rahab was a Gentile. She was a pagan worshiper who turned to believe in God, and she was spared from the judgment of Jericho. Biblical types and parallels. The third point to why the church will not see the great tribulation period is because of specific promises given to the church. Specific promises given to the church. I know this is very academic, and some of you have a tendency to maybe, I don't know if I should hear this. You need to hear this. You really do. I'll give you a little incentive along the way. We're halfway done, more than halfway done. Listen to this. A little bit of incentive. In the rapture, when it happens, does everybody go, or do only those who are watching and waiting go? Anyway, point number three. Specific promises given to the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 10. 1 Thessalonians 1, 10 says, "For we are to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come." People, that is a specific reference to the wrath, indignation, judgment of the tribulation period of God. Not hell. Some people will tell you that that refers to hell. It does not. And there's not a Greek scholar in the universe that would say that that pertains to hell. It pertains to the tribulation period. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 9. This is a promise to us. Listen carefully. Brethren, concerning the times and the seasons, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness so that that day should overtake you as a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, and let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep at night, and they that get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and of love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. Verse 9, 1 Thessalonians 5. For God did not appoint us to wrath, indignation, and judgment, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is a reference to the tribulation period. Those who are sleeping, miss it. I didn't write the book. Well, I got baptized. I got baptized today. So what? Somebody asked me last service, is believing in God enough? Can I make it just believing in God? I said, no, I turned to James 2:19. It says that the demons, the devils, believe in God and they tremble. They're not going to heaven. You can believe in God and not make it into heaven. That ought to get your eyebrows up. You can believe in Jesus Christ and not make it to heaven. You can say that Jesus Christ is a great, great teacher and a great prophet of God and never make it to heaven. You can believe in the Trinity and never make it there. You must, according to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, you must believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died for you personally and rose from the dead for you personally. And if you can confess that with your mouth, verse 10 says, you're saved. You see, it doesn't matter if we make it down to the baptism today or not. If you believe that in your heart and you're trusting Christ, not Calvary Chapel, not the Lutheran Church, not the Catholic Church, not Billy Graham, John Paul, or Peter and Paul, or Mary. It has to be Jesus and Him alone, and people don't want to hear that. I am not going to lie to you. It's Christ and Him alone. We are to be waiting, and we are to be watching, and He has promised us deliverance to those who, according to the Greek language of the New Testament, are stretching out the neck, scanning the horizon for His coming, ready in their hearts and waiting diligently. Specific promises. Here's a beautiful promise. Can you believe this? This is given by Jesus Himself. Revelation 3:10, beautiful words of our God and Savior Himself. He said to us, the church, because you have kept the command of my word to persevere, hang in there, don't give up. I also will keep you from the, it's in the Greek definite article, the hour, excluding it from all other hours, of the trial, excluding it from all other trials, that shall come upon the whole world and try those who dwell on it. Jesus says, I'm going to keep you from it. And a post-tribulationist will say, I used to say, that's no problem. We're going to go through it, and he's going to keep us safe, just like Noah in that boat. And we're going to make it. Guess what? Post-tribulationists do not believe that. You cannot believe that and be true to the post-tribulational doctrinal view. You can't do it. You can't say that anymore. Because in fact, we'll study it closely in a moment. In fact, if you hold to the post-tribulation rapture view, out of the scripture, the book of Revelation tells us that not one believer will be alive at the second coming of Christ. Sounds radical, doesn't it? We'll cover it in a moment. The question is, who does He come for? If He raptures somebody at the end of the tribulation period, who are they? And where are they? We're going to answer that question in just a moment. Specific promises have been given to the church. Number four, the fourth reason why the church will not go through the Great Tribulation period is because Jesus' location or Jesus' association with the church. This is fun. Are you guys ready for this? It's so quiet in here. I don't know if that's good or bad. You guys look very awake. Are you totally confused? You should see these heads. Looks like a clock. Oh, hands on a clock. Oh, yeah, no, okay. Number four. This is fun. In the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, Jesus writes a letter. It's the only letter he's ever written. He writes 7 of them. One to each of the churches in Asia Minor, in the area of Turkey today. And just a brief example, some of them, church at Ephesus, some of them, church at Smyrna, some of them, church at Pergamos, some of the church at Philadelphia, some of the church at Sardis, some of the church at Laodicea, and so on. Thyatira. He writes them a letter. And he gives them a personal critique of each one and tells them what they need to do before the end. Gives them a great, great bit of input. In Revelations 2 and 3, you find that written. And every time you do, Jesus addresses himself as being with or in, or listen, in the church of the Laodiceans case, on the doorstep trying to get in, knocking on the door. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. That's to the church at Laodicea. Jesus is at his own church saying, hey, let me in. Will somebody let me in? To the church at Ephesus, he says, I, the one writing to you, who walks in the midst of the 7 golden lampstands. And you say, well, what does that mean? Book of Revelation tells you that the 7 golden lampstands are the 7 churches that are listed in the book of Revelation. And where is Jesus? Anybody? Walking in the midst of those churches. He says so. Revelation chapter 2, verse 1. To the angel of the church at Ephesus, write, these things saith he who has the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the 7 lampstands. Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come into him and I will dine, eat, have supper with him and he with me. That's a message to the church. I know we use that evangelistically, but that is a message to a dead church. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is on the doorstep knocking at one church? He's going up and down in between the other one. And didn't Jesus himself say, lo, or behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world? He said that to the church. Jesus, didn't he say that wherever 2 or more are gathered, there I am in the midst of you?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called How a Church Ought to Go. Thanks so much for listening today, and please be encouraged. The pain and sorrows of this world are only temporary when you give your life over to the Lord. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. And before we let you go today, I want to remind you about our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It's a great website, real easy to point and click around and get what you need from Real Radio. We've got a lot of resources there. We've got sermons, we've got YouTube, we've got the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a great app for you to spend some time on. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Now, do you get our Real Life devotions? Shows up in your email inbox every Monday. A lot of folks write into us telling us that the Real Life devotions really make a big difference throughout the week. It's the kind of thing where, you know, if you're sitting in the doctor's office or waiting at the post office, something like that, you can access your email and go look at the Real Life devotions from Pastor Jack. He covers all sorts of different topics, and a lot of folks are really, really happy with the Real Life devotions. You can simply go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org, have a look at the devotions, and listen, when you're done with that, go to your app store, whether you're on Apple or Android or whatever. Go to the app store and get the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. That's a real easy way to access everything that is Real Radio. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.